And slide 16, what about Jesus saving us from original sin? I'm afraid you're going to have to wait till next time for that one. But it is a fascinating concept that we were taught a second century concept which originated with the church father Irenaeus. And that has become the root of Christianity. It's nowhere in the Gospels. It's actually nowhere in St. Paul's writing. It's nowhere in any of the Acts of the Apostles or all the letters. It just doesn't exist. Extraordinary. But we'll have fun with that next time. And finally, we've had some questions. I've had some questions. We, the group, have had some questions. And thank you to Arlette, who sent me some spikenard to smell. Spikenard actually wasn't used in the first temple. I've checked out my Margaret Barker books here. Dr. Margaret Barker is an extraordinary scholar with whom I've studied in person, and she's written a lot of books about the first temple and Christianity and how Christianity reflects the teachings of the first temple and how she believes that it was an attempt to return us to the beliefs of the first temple. The Hidden Tradition of the Kingdom of God is the easiest and shortest of her books to read. They get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as she gets... She's a bit like J.K. Rowling in that respect. Once she'd done a very slim book on the idea, she just got more and more research, because Harry Potter, the first book, is really quite slim, but The Deathly Hallows is enormous. So Margaret Barker is a bit like that. The first temple had stacte, myrrh, stacte, which is a form of myrrh, onycha, I don't know how to pronounce these, and galbanum and frankincense. And Margaret did make up a mixture of these for us to smell at the summer school, and I cannot tell you how heavy it was. Spikenard was used in the second temple, possibly with the others, and that's from the Valerian family, but it wasn't used in the first temple, which is also interesting. I'm not sure why that is. It was also used by Mary Magdalene to anoint Jesus' feet before the Last Supper. So if you ever want to smell what it was like in the incense in the first temple, get together some stacte, onycha, galbanum and frankincense. Mix them all together and just sit there and go, whoa. Because trust me, they are a good asset to meditation. They aren't going to take you high. They're not going to do anything to you like cannabis or LSD might do, but they'll certainly get you in the mood. They're very, very good. And the second question is about taking responsibility for your life, because I talked about that in the last webinar. We will look at that more later. But the tree of life itself comes at these four levels, as you know. And down at the base level, the level of the human ego, this is the base of the Yetzeratic tree and the crown of the physical tree, at the level of the human psyche, that is the key to where we start to take responsibility for other people's feelings along with our own. And that's about people. When it comes to dealing with humanity, we're supposed to do what's best for the evolution of humanity. So our goal is actually not to feel responsible for other people's feelings, which sounds quite harsh. But the willingness triad on the Tree of Life is the one where we feel that other people can be more important than us. And we know that we're going to get our strokes. We're going to get people to like us by taking care of another person. And that's a primary impulse from this human ego. It's a good thing to do. I'm not saying we shouldn't be nice to people. I'm not saying we shouldn't be kind to people. But where that gets out of balance is where you put your responsibility to how the other feels before your spiritual growth. Also, at the time of doing this webinar is when we had the Me Too hashtag on Twitter and on Facebook. And I did post myself today about a story of something that happened to me when I was at college. I put 19, but actually I was 18. Not that it makes that much difference. But you can't take responsibility for your own life fully when you aren't prepared to say no to other people. You're literally not responsible for what happens to you if you don't understand that. If you're stuck down at Yesod, thinking that what other people want is always as important as what you want, or it's more important than what you want, you're not going to live a karmically happy life, because you're going to go around the cycle of samsara and attract the same things again and again. In the case of sexual assault, most of the problem comes from girls being taught that they have no right to say no, and that the men or the attacker have some kind of right to do what they want to do. Now, I know there will be people who disagree with me, and that's absolutely fine about that. It is never a case of a woman asking for it or the person who's being assaulted asking for it. It is, however, a case of that person not having the auric field, the electromagnetic field, that basically says, sod off. Because if you go around with that auric field of strength, and you understand gavura, you understand no at the level of the soul, it won't happen to you. And I know that's so because when I was young, I had no self-esteem, no ability to say no. And although that was the only time in my life when an actual assault happened, there were plenty of times when I was a journalist when men would grope me or insult me or say things to me, because I was still carrying that feeling that your views of me are more important than mine. And that's the ultimate negative aspect of the willingness triad, as it's called, when you feel too responsible for other people's feelings. I know that I healed that when I was in London and I was walking between stations underground on the tube, and two young men came and jostled up against me and said, "We're taking your handbag." And I said, "No, you are not. Trust me, you are not." And they both looked into my eyes and walked away. And that's, it would have been so easy for them to pull my handbag. There were two of them. They could easily have knocked me over and pulled my handbag, but I just turned around, looked at them and said, "No." And that simple no comes from the level of the soul. It doesn't come from the ego. The ego may well say no in a selfish way, but it will quite frequently not be capable of saying no when it's a matter of self-preservation or for your own highest good. So it's a complicated answer to the question, but if you feel responsible for other people's feelings, you have to look and say, why does this person's opinion matter more than mine? Why does this person's pain matter more than mine? Doesn't mean to say you shouldn't be compassionate at all. It's kind of the difference between giving a fiver to a charity and actually doing work to solve the situation that the charity is giving money to. For the Kabbalist or the mystic or the person working at the level of the soul, it's about finding the solution to the problem rather than throwing something at it which will alleviate it temporarily. And I hope that's making some sense to you. There will be times during this webinar when I may seem to be incredibly tough and perhaps not caring, because once you're working from the soul, it's our evolution, our greater good that matters. And this Me Too campaign has two points to it. It may well help with the evolution. It may well help those who've been assaulted learn so that it doesn't happen to our children. Or it can become a pity party. And it's completely up to us, just like all of it is, because we have free will. And that's tonight's webinar. Thank you so much for joining me. Good night.